Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The Super Prep Saturday edition of the Notorious OTB on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com. Use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. We're also brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And we're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. The guys just dropped their bonus behind-the-scenes episode for Sean winning $200,000. Plus, this week's Pick'em prize is a free $250 Super Bowl square. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon to join today. Welcome, everybody, to the Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. And folks, as always,
it's all good, baby. It was all a dream.
We used to read Blood Horse Magazine. I got my Cuban.
Yes, leg. Cuban B.
I'm your host, Chase Sessoms, the Wolf of Oak Lawn.
I got ice all over my body looking like a snowman. Big rocks in the grill dancing like a slow jam. My chain's so heavy, I'm walking like an old man. Try me, you.
I think maybe for this episode, I could just go by the name Wrongy McWrongerson. Welcome to the show, someone who apparently I've been mispronouncing her last name for ever. Sarah El-Badwi, not El-Badwi, like I've been saying, like a dick. That's my bad, Sarah. Also, I might have insinuated that she had a degree in liberal arts yesterday's show. That is not correct. She has a degree in equine sciences, which is way cooler than a liberal arts degree. Sarah, my humblest apologies and welcome to the show.
I feel like you just made me sound like I have more potential than I actually do. And for that, I appreciate you because El-Badwi makes it seem like I'm going somewhere. Like I'm on my way to something special versus how it's actually pronounced. And I didn't catch it until I listened to your episode yesterday. And that's when I found out that I maybe seemed like the type that had a liberal arts degree. And I feel like it could be worse. So it's okay. At least you thought that I had a degree.
Hey, you know, it's funny. We were talking about it. I was like, you know, hey, don't feel bad because I put off the vibe of like I got like an associate's degree from like a vaunted HVAC teaching facility. And you mentioned that I put off the teacher vibes, and it reminded me to tell you about when I used to box. I was a boxer for a little bit, and by that I mean like I joined a boxing gym in like my mid 20s. That was like me and urban youths. And so whenever like I sparred with the urban youths, it was like they got a chance to like take a crack at someone who looked like their biology teacher, probably, you know. And so one of the guys, like I ended up, I quit after I got my nose broke like real good one time. And, a few years later, I was at Walmart and the guy was checking me out at Walmart. And I was like, you know what? I won the war. But then I felt bad. I felt like I had failed him as a teacher, too, at the same time.
I mean, weren't you just instilling confidence in your students if they were able to break your nose?
I think so. Like, I
think you hyped them up.
Maybe I did raise him to that next level. He could have not been working at Walmart. You know, I hear they have a great ownership. You know, buy shares program with the company. Anywho, what are we going to talk about today? We got four Kentucky Derby preps this Saturday. I'm calling it Super Prep Saturday because Super Tuesday was already taken, and it doesn't happen on a Tuesday. So I'm rolling with Super Prep Saturday. We've got four grade threes, all of them prep races, the Withers at Aqueduct, the RB Lewis at Santa Anita, the Holy Bull at Gulfstream, and, of course, the big one in terms of purse and prestige. Nah, it's probably not true, but at least in purse, the Southwest at Oaklawn Park. Sarah, just overall impression of some of these races, did you have anything, a major theme that you kind of picked out on?
It's always nice to see full fields in all of these prep races. I know sometimes we can be looking at more compact fields when we look at the winter prep races in Aqueduct, like we got in the Jerome, or especially over at Santa Anita. You often see those more compact 6-horse fields that have a lot of horses going out for similar connections, because that's just sort of the theme that we've seen lately with California racing. So it was nice to see full fields in all of these races. I think that they're all decent betting opportunities. There's a couple favorites I'm not trying to beat, but there are a lot of long shots that I think you could use for some value underneath. And as another sort of overarching theme, there's a lot of horses that showed something different in their start last time in terms of running style or overcoming some sort of trouble that perhaps leads you to believe that they have a lot more to offer going forwards, rather than some other horses that have had everything go their own way as of late.
Well, let's go ahead. Let's jump into it, and let's talk about your neck of the woods, the Grade 3 Withers at Aqueduct. That's race 9. It's 9 furlongs, $250,000, and like I said, Grade 3. It's the longest of the prep races today. And in this race, we might have a bunch of one-turn horses or low-value plays on horses going two turns for the first time, I guess I would say. I really thought there were two horses here that I could key into this race. They actually have a little bit of two-turn form, and that's kind of what I tried to use to separate it, because it's not common to necessarily go two turns at Aqueduct.
True, and I think that having that experience doing so, it's not nothing, so I can probably guess which horses you're referring to, but I did go kind of in a different direction for who I liked in this race, and I think Light Line for Brad Cox coming in, it ends up being sort of the real deal. I know that he finished second in his last two races, but he really demonstrated a difference in his running style in his last start, being taken all the way to last in that race at Oaklawn after a little bit of time off and finishing a very clear second behind a horse that I think could vie for favoritism later on in the Southwest. And even when he finished second at Keeneland, that was to Stretch Ride, who's turning out to be a pretty solid horse for one of your favorite trainers in Dale Roman. So I think showing that versatility where he can be a bit more tactical in his running style is really going to come into play in here, where you could have a couple of horses that are interested in being close to the front end early on.
I kind of thought that you might really want to key in on some horses that, you know, have, you know, run fairly well recently that might have shipped in from another place that could be coming in from outside the fold. I my top pick ended up being the 5 Seminole Chief at 12-1. I mean, sure, these horses are, you know, the horses coming from restricted stakes races, but the horse actually has experience going two turns and just a half furlong shorter than the race, you know, today. Sisterton, I mean, trains a good horse, and the big step forward in the two turn race really explains the presence here in New York to me. Like, I think if the horse hadn't showed out going 8.5 furlongs, there's no way that it makes it its way to New York, which probably is pretty obvious and didn't need to say. But the other one I really kind of liked, I'm a sucker for Park Shipper, Sarah. I liked the 8 Uncle Heavy at 10-1. I always think the Park Shippers are dangerous. And this one coming off a 2-turn state bred race. And this one had trouble last out in the stakes win and still managed to get up, kind of what you alluded to. I don't think it should sit more than about 3 off the early pace. I think it will put, you know, Uncle Heavy in the mix late as some of the one turn speed starts to kind of come back to the field.
I think Uncle Heavy makes a lot of sense. I mean, he completely missed the break in that start 2 back coming in from Parks, as you mentioned. He actually ran on pretty well, I thought, after being really taken out of things early on to finish even 5th in that race. And then better start last time, even though he didn't break quite as quickly and was able to get the job done there. And as far as Seminole Chief, that is my value play in here. I think that adding the blinkers last time really helped this horse get more clued in to his race and what was going on. He was a lot more forward in that race in comparison to his race two starts ago at Gulfstream, where he just seemed kind of lost, where he was sort of on the inside of horses and sort of flat down the lane and late to switch leads in there. It really does seem like for him, he's figured things out with the addition of that equipment, and that's really helped him to turn in a more professional effort, which I think knowing that he can have that closer type of mid-pack trip in this race or even be in a more of a stalking position, I think he could take another step forward in here. And I also thought that the price would be fair on both of those horses.
Yeah. Now, do you have any take on how the track plays going two turns on the dirt here?
I think that in general at Aqueduct, you want to be forwardly placed, but I think that we've just seen a fair surface overall in terms of where you can close, where you can be forward, where you can sit mid-pack. And I think that it really does play to all running styles. I think that more often than not, when we do see a bias as far as how the track is playing, it's due to some sort of weather, and we shouldn't have things really change too much as far as this weekend. We should be still seeing a fast main track on Saturday, so I don't think that we're likely to see any sort of rail advantage or speed advantage in particular going into this weekend. I think that it's the moisture in the track that really does make a difference in terms of how the track plays.
Okay, that's... take that with you. Write that down in your little books, folks. Right. Also, while you're writing things down, don't forget to join the SGP Patreon. The guys just dropped this month's bonus episode, behind the scenes breakdown of Sean's $200,000 win. This week's Patreon pick'em prize is a free $250 Super Bowl square, plus access to all the pick sheet and exclusive channels on Discord. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. And as always, we're brought to you by the good folks at Underdog Fantasy, who have a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NFL, NBA, NHL, college basketball, and college football. Simply pick higher or lower on some of your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. You can win up to 100 times with some spicy plays. My favorite underdog pick'em for today's show is everything lower. Take everything to the lower level. So watch along, make your picks, and maybe make a little cash over Underdog's mobile app or website, underdogfantasy.com. When you sign up for promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit of up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code SGPN. And if you excuse me, I need to get a brief hydration interlude in.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, moving on. We go to the West Coast, where some, because it rhymes, argue is the best coast. I don't have a dog in this fight, so I'm not choosing sides. the Robert B. Lewis race five at Gulfstream Santa Anita, the $200,000 grade three Robert B. Lewis going 1 mile. Is Bob a vindictive bastard? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, he is. I think there's a good chance that that his horses are the trifecta in this race, and there therefore may be zero value in this race at all.
It's completely possible, and we see that happen pretty frequently, where this could have been a race where you have just a field of a couple of his horses and maybe two others. But I do like to see that at least other trainers and other connections are taking a shot in this race for those points that are on the line for those other horses to head towards the Kentucky Derby, because we could have seen a lot less of an interesting betting race. And while it's still perfectly possible that he might be filling out the trifecta with his runners, at least there are alternative options to look at if you do choose to do so.
Yeah, my top pick I think there's one horse here who kind of towers that I'm pretty certain is going to win the race, and it's the 6 Nisos. And there's not a ton that I can really say for Nisos other than he's big and he run fast. That's kind of the story of this Bob horse. I'm with you, but I think there, if you look outside the Bobs, you can maybe get a little bit of value with a horse like the number 7 Stronghold. I think this is the most competitive non-Bob horse in the race. I mean, it will have to run hard to get a piece, and it might only round out an exact or a try, but I think it's where it might present the most value, kicking a Bob Baffert horse out of the try or exacta.
And has faced some of his runners before, if you look at that Los Alamitos Derby, so you at least know that this one can kind of be on that same competitive level. I think Nisos is going to win this race as well. I wasn't trying to beat him. He's just faster than the other horses that he's going to be facing in here. If he replicates his first or his second start, he's going to win this race. I like that in his last start, he was able to show a different dimension, sitting off of the pace. And while he wasn't far off of things at all, at least he was able to rate kindly with taking those blinkers off, handling that stretch out and distance effectively. And I think that he can be sitting wherever Flavien Prat chooses to sit him. And I think that that's a rider that's going to read a race correctly in real time to give him his best chance of winning. So I had nothing against him. I couldn't find an alternative to try to beat him with. But as far as somebody underneath for value, I think that the number 3 Better Than Gold is a horse that really did improve with more distance. And while he was coming from really far out of things over at Del Mar, he will need to sit a little bit closer to be effective at Santa Anita. And if you don't think that he's going to be able to close as much ground, maybe you want a horse like Scatify, the number 9, who might be able to sit a little bit closer and did defeat a pretty heavily favored Bob Baffert runner over at Los Al. And that was a decent first time out buyer speed figure for him. So another step forward could put him right in the mix to sort of challenge a horse like Nisos, but everybody has to get quite a bit faster.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, but I'm glad you said Scatify, because I was going to bring the horse up if you didn't. And the horse hit the gate last time out and still managed to run a pretty good race and could take another step forward. And it seems like these Justify babies have just been red hot as of late. So I think the pedigree drew my eye to it. And then upon further investigations where I kind of saw the trouble. So I'm with you. I think that that's a little bit of value there, too. All right, moving on. Not quite the big one, but a big-ish one. The Holy Bull, race 12, 8.5 furlongs, $250,000, a grade 3 at Gulfstream Park. To be honest, this is another prep where I don't know if the chalk can actually be beaten here. If the favorite runs back to anything close to what this one ran in the BC Juvie after going on the shelf, then it's going to be a walkover. What did you think?
As far as 3-year-olds in general, it's fierceness and everybody else. If he comes back with anything like the buyer speed figure that he earned in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, because he has a high ceiling as far as how fast he is in comparison to what some of these other horses still have yet to do. And I think perhaps the only potential knock with a horse like this is that there is that race in the Champaign where he threw in a complete clunker. Maybe he just didn't appreciate the way that surface was playing that day with all the moisture that it had in it. But at the same time, I guess that you do have to be a little bit nervous that he is capable of not showing up with his best performance. But his best performance is better than any other 3-year-old that we have seen as of yet. So I didn't really see another reason to think that he would be a no-show on a day like this. And if you do doubt him and you want to take a shot against it 3-5, go for it. But I don't really see anybody in here that looks so much on the come up to be able to sort of contend with the triple digit buyer speed figure if that's what he runs back.
Yeah, everything that you just said, basically, yes, I agree. I completely agree too. Plus, there's that lightning workout on January 20th, 5 furlongs and 59 and 2. Damn. Then followed by the nice slow 4 furlong leg stretcher, just the pattern that I really like to see. Everything about Fierceness just looks good and primed to fire here for Rapoli, who knows, might have his Derby horse in the form of Fierceness here. Like you kind of thought that maybe you need to try to find your value underneath. And I'm using the 1 Hades at 6-1 as my value pick with Paco Lopez, you know, up on the local horse for Joseph Orsino. And this horse just hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, it stepped up with the increase in distance last out from 5.5 to 7 furlongs. First run on the early speed running style that might put Hades in a spot to chase down Fierceness late. But honestly, it seems unlikely, and this is the horse I think could sneakily win a battle for second as Fierceness runs away, you know, way out ahead of this field.
Hades, ruler of the underworld. I thought that his last race was actually really visually impressive. So I think that he took a big step forward in terms of his debut to that last out performance, and maybe has another step forward that could put him in the mix. For my value play, I went towards the outside with Sea Streak, who is a son of Sea Wizard, who I'm very quickly becoming a fan of as a stallion who's only had very limited opportunities in terms of his offspring. But he has like a crazy debut success rate with his first time starters of over 40% from only under 20 offspring to make it to the races, which is pretty incredible when you think about what kind of horses are getting to go first time out for him. And I thought that this horse actually ran really well in the race last time when he lost to Otello, because he was adding blinkers and having more forward position than he had had in any of his other starts where he had come from off the pace. And I thought that he actually battled on pretty gamely to end up finishing behind other horses in here that are going to be shorter prices than he is, because they might have more of the obvious trips where they were waiting for clean racing room. But Sea Streak was the one doing all the dirty work with a huge long shot on the front end. So I thought that maybe if that long shot had not been in that race, he would have finished a lot more in the mix and closer than a horse like Otello, who got a decent trip, even though he had to angle out for clear running room, and even inveigled with the same type of situation where he was behind horses and had to angle out. So at the biggest price of them all and having that forward position, I thought that Sea Streak was pretty interesting to try to get in underneath in an exacta somewhere.
Man, how happy do they have to be with that horse at Hollycrest Farm? Considering, I'm glad you said something about Sea Wizard. That's really interesting. I hadn't heard, you know, that's not something that I'd heard yet. So I'm glad that I'm hearing it from you, someone I trust. Stud fee of $1,500. And now, I mean, a horse that looks like it could maybe take a step forward in the Holy Bull. Congratulations to the folks at Hollycrest Farm in New Jersey, man. Way to go. Good eye, Hollycrest Farm with the homebred.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, to think of like some of these stallions like him, like Slumber, another one that comes to mind about really having these limited opportunities, but having a lot of high profile, successful offspring. It's kind of incredible what they get to do with very few foals to actually go on and race.
That's what I'm talking about right there. I need to get one of these guys lined up to get my dream Archie bred set up, you know, bred for like $1,600, but it wins all these $115,000 races. That's the major plan. Speaking of major plans, I don't know how this fits, but Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. Plus, there are tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers a lower VIG and fully customizable odds, and you can create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Plus, it's got social features like group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And Cut also allows you to list almost any kind of bet, perfect for getting action on those fun Super Bowl prop bets. Cut is the peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. And As always, we are brought to you by the good nerds of Hall of Fame Bets. We want you to win bigger by betting smarter this NFL season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NFL, NBA, and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Oh, I'll be back after I rehydrate here.
Bet, hit me with the horse, man. Y'all ready? Let's go. Oh, no. Let's go. Y'all ready? Let's go!
Here we go. The perfect hype music for a three-year-old stakes race in Arkansas. Let me clear my throat. I've always said. We're taking a look at the Southwest. That's race 11, 8.5 furlongs, $800,000. Grade three. It's the big one in terms of purse. I think it attracted a pretty salty field. Very full field at two.
Even though this was a race that they had to push back a little bit because of some winter weather, I think that you're still seeing a really solid group of horses. And as you mentioned, a full field of 12 in what I think is a really interesting betting race. And I could make a case for, you know, seven, maybe eight of these horses to actually find themselves in the winner's circle. So I think that you'll see a pretty even betting board amongst the top contenders for this race. And it could definitely be the one that produces the most value in terms of your wagering of the four that we've talked about.
Yeah. Now it is worth noting, it looks like there is some weather due in Hot Springs, go figure, for the Southwest. It's just the time of year. It's this time of year that the weather is always wet, but by the time the spring rolls around, it dries out a little bit. So there's a little bit of weather. I tried to take that into account. And then also, I mean, Matthew's been doing his track stat stuff for Naira Betts and some pretty interesting stuff. And what he was showing was that horses coming from off the pace in the wet at Oaklawn are doing kind of well. So I tried to kind of key in on that. I didn't have any luck picking winners doing that last week, but I had a bunch of really good horses run second. So it makes me think that I'm seeing the ball fairly well. I'm hoping at least. So that's kind of what I tried to key into. What did you think of the Southwest?
I think that the pace projects to be pretty honest in this race. I think you have a lot of horses that might be more suited to sprints later on in terms of where they go with their careers following the attempts to be on the Kentucky Derby Trail. And you have a lot of horses that have had their best success being forwardly placed. So I think that you will be seeing some heavy hitting up front in this race, and it could set up well for a horse that's coming from off the pace. And just as you mentioned, that's a move that has been shown to be successful more so at Oakland than some of these other racetracks like Santa Anita, like heading over to Gulfstream, for example. So I think that it's more of a fair playing surface in terms of those closers having an opportunity to be successful in this race. So it was kind of an all closers type of deal for me, with Liberal Arts on top, who is the horse that just seemed like the classiest one of those closers that I was considering with what he's done so far on the racetrack and where I think he's going to sit in this race, as well as his buyer speed figures coming into it in terms of where they match up and being higher than some of the other horses that are bigger prices, but have yet to kind of prove it in terms of whether or not they'll be classing up, even if they get the setup.
Look at us. Hey, look at us.
Look at us.
Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Well, I mean, I already had a clue that you, Crystal, clued me in that we liked the same horse yesterday.
Yeah,
so.
That's because you thought I had a liberal arts degree, you jerks.
Well, yeah, that's true. That is the insinuation that was made. Yeah, I think this one just might be ready to fire. And everything that you pretty much mentioned, plus, you know, not necessarily a track bias, but a fair track that will chew up early speed when there's way too much of it. And I think you have maybe way too much of it. My value pick, I'm sticking with it. I said it yesterday, the 11 Just Steal at 8-1. Dwayne Lucas, he'll never be too old for horse racing. He will be 105 and still training winners of these prep races. And I think that he's got a fairly good one here with, you know, Just Steal. I think it's going to benefit from the wide post. And I love this one, you know, where it will be sitting in during the race, about mid pack. should really love running this distance again after, you know, getting nipped late in placing the first time it got a crack at the 8.5 furlongs. So I'm hoping for another successful Justify baby with Just Steel.
You know, I really didn't think that he was going to appreciate more ground to work with going into that Smarty Jones race, and he proved me completely wrong. I mean, he had no business running as well as he did in that race. It was a very game effort where he was more forward than the horse that was eventually winning and got a really great setup in Catching Freedom, and I think that he really showed more grit and determination in that race. So I think he certainly looks to be very live coming into this race. I just didn't know that he might end up getting nipped late in here with all the pace that's signed on. But he was really game last time. I definitely don't blame you for taking another look at him. And I think he'll be a fair enough price. But as far as my value plays in here, I wanted to go for the biggest long shots in this race that I thought would be coming late. And I think that Magic Grant, the number 3 horse, is one that when he broke his maiden, he was coming from way far off of it. And then actually getting himself involved in that Springboard Mile at Remington behind horses like Otto the Conqueror and Glengarry. And Otto the Conqueror is going to be such a short fraction of the price that he's going to be, but with more pace on, he was getting himself into that photo between the two of them. And I think that he could get the right kind of trip in this race, as well as the maiden Linebacker putting the blinkers on. This horse likes to come from far out of it and has just been missing against some good maidens in his races, and he actually had a little bit more of a trip than it looks like, losing position in his last race sort of midway going into the top of the stretch in there. And as well as Common Defense for Ken McPeak, this is another horse that was coming from off the pace who actually ran pretty well to break his maiden last time. So I would sort of play around with all three of those horses underneath the horse like Liberal Arts.
I like it. I like it quite a bit. Even, you know, taking a deeper look into that three. I mean, the horse broke its maiden in the Clever Trevor at Remington Park. Like that, people, you know, that you kind of perk up the ears a little bit whenever you see a horse that's actually getting its maiden score in a stakes race a little bit. And so seeing that it's improved every single time, and that finish, like you said, in the Springboard Mile, it's something that, I mean, definitely was not hip to until you started mentioning it. But the more I look at it, the more I really like it too. That looks pretty good. I do like that play there, Sarah.
I think the Hortons also want to win at Oaklawn as well. So I think that that's a very live horse coming in here that it could definitely outrun his odds.
That's for sure. It's interesting. No one mentioned on the rail for the boys in blue. Say this, say go DJ. Because that my dolphin. Go Dolphin.
Is he really going to be the favorite?
I don't know. It feels weird making a Michael Stidham horse.
I think not.
Yeah, in a prep at Oaklawn, I feel like the money doesn't really flow to Stidham like it will flow to someone like Steve Asmussen or
isn't Carbone or Winstock going to be favored? I mean, just having that big jump up in terms of his buyer speed figure in that off the turf race at Fairgrounds, those numbers tend to not necessarily be reliable to be replicable. So I just don't really trust him.
I mean, not to mention Winstock won from a rail post position at Los Al. He is what I like to call a Los Al rail shipper, because it's notoriously bad on the inside there at Los Al. I think you're going to get Winstock. And like I said, I think Bob is a vindictive dick and he wants to steal as many, like just Mr. Grinch, as many Kentucky Derby points as he possibly can. And like I said, I went on this tangent yesterday. I'm going to go back on it again. Just like big shout out to Bob Baffert. You are the GOAT of giving us horse racing podcasters something to talk about. Like, thank you.
It's really crazy that it's still such a topic of conversation after this much time to be still analyzing these kinds of horses that are not capable of earning points on the Derby trail, and seems a little bit more vindictive by Churchill Downs at this point to really keep pushing that date up. And I know that a lot of the connections are really pushing the narrative of the loyalty that they're showing him. I think that it's also because they're not getting results when they make the trainer switch. So why don't they just keep the horse with the barn that he's doing well in and go on for the Preakness or the Belmont or some of those later summer races or the Breeders' Cup? Missing one race where you're going to finish 12th and use your horse that could be winning races like the Preakness, the Belmont, and those later races for those 3-year-olds and challenge older by the end of the year, it's not worth it. So I think that it's not necessarily all about sticking true to their trainer. It's because they're not getting their horses to perform the same way for other trainers. It's something that's been proven over the last 2 years. And so now having those horses go to different barns, it's not working. So why would you keep doing it?
Yeah, I mean, last time I checked, Preakness is still a Triple Crown race. So is a Bet Lamont. I mean, it's not everyone's going to win the Triple Crown. And I think as soon as you're honest with yourself about what your horse's prospect are, you're right. It probably does make more sense to skip out and just, you know, pick your spots a little bit better, or, you know, have the edge on horses that were coming out of the Kentucky Derby, you know, worn out after running a 20 horse race, probably traumatized from that gate break, you know.
And a horse like Taba, I think, perfectly exemplifies that, of one that was favored for a short period of time going into the Kentucky Derby based on those three races that he had, you know, shown beforehand. And where did he finish? 12th. I mean, it's just not a formula that's had success. Messier didn't work out. Reincarnate didn't work out. So now it's more of a situation where they might as well keep with what's working for their animal and not change things that have proven for them over time that it doesn't work.
Yeah. It'd be nice just to just finally have a resolution to what's turned into like a 2-year pissing match, essentially, too.
And at this point, it's like, is it worth it? And I think the answer for everyone involved is no.
No. Right. Oh, Sarah, what do you got going on this weekend? Are you going to be on air for any of these races?
I will be on Saturday in the earlier portion of the card, covering some Oaklawn, some Aqueduct, and even a couple stakes at Tampa as well. So we've got coverage all over the place. And then Sunday, Talking Horses for that Sunday card that I think has yet to come out as of this recording. But it should be a fun day covering enhanced coverage at Oaklawn with all of those stakes races. It's not just the Southwest. There's plenty of other stakes on the card. And of course, the Cross Country Pick 5 is an all stakes one on Saturday as well. Aqueduct, Tampa, Oaklawn. So those are super fun to get involved with, and they've been paying very well.
Yep, absolutely. So check those out. Make sure you give Sarah a watch on America's Day at the Races, or give her a watch on Talking Horses, either place. We are mighty proud of her, even though we pronounced her last name incorrectly. and we attribute false degrees to her. Sarah, thank you for coming on. I will be back tomorrow. I guess I'm going to be taking a look at the rest of the graded stakes at Gulfstream for a Holy Bull Day. We've covered a lot of stakes in, you know, only a short amount of time, it seems like. So we're going to cover even more of them. It's a big weekend of racing. Make sure you take it in. And we will catch you tomorrow with more Notorious OTB, brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network.
Bye-bye.